there were multiple times where Leader Jeffries or Leader Schumer would say, you know what, we should be doing this. And the President of the United States would say, yeah, absolutely, let's have that conversation. But we're going to do it in the context of the people's government being open. We're not going to let you take the people's government hostage and then give you everything that you want.
That is, of course, Vice President J.D. Vance talking yesterday after the meeting in the White House on the Schumer shutdown, I think is the popular way to term it. Welcome back into the show. Mark Cox here alongside Dan Buck this morning, filling in for Kim St. Ange. And we got Ethan Bright over here running the board. Glad to have you back at the show. Wanted to get sort of the insight on what the Democrats are demanding to keep the government from shutting down. And we invited Congressman Mike Boss to join us from the great state of Illinois in District 12 over there. And Congressman, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
Great to have you on. So what about the Schumer shutdown? You think it's going to happen tonight?
Well, the sad thing is, I'm afraid it is. I wish it didn't, because it makes no sense. They're demanding 1.5, a totally ridiculous demand that will not happen. Look, remember this. The House Republicans did their job. They sent the bill over. Now the Senate, which is really wild because the Democrats have actually voted for CRs just to keep the government open, argued that they have 13 times during the Biden administration. Wow. Now think about that. 13 wow. times. Now think about this. Their ask, which is such a ridiculous ask, is they want $1.5 trillion
with a T
put back into the CR so they can continue to provide medical assistance through Medicaid for those who are in this country illegally.
That's unbelievable. And that's a hill, I mean, that's a hill they're willing to die on.
All I can say is, and let me tell you this, here's what I believe. Okay, let's look at the political side of this for Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer is in a loss situation politically. Not for the country, because the right thing for the country is put the votes on it. Now, and remember, Fetterman has said he's not going to be involved in this dance. He's actually wanting to keep government open. Let's work on getting the budget from this next year passed, but make sure we keep government open. But Schumer has a AOC that is going to challenge him, and she's going to challenge him anyway, in a primary. And he's afraid of losing that seat to the radical group of Democrats from New York. And not only that, then if he doesn't put this shutdown in place, because he's taking heat for 7 months ago for doing the sensible thing and giving arguments why we shouldn't shut government down. So now here he is. He is sitting here trying to move forward, making strictly a political move to protect his political capital. Because he will also be challenged for the leadership on the Democrats in the Senate if he doesn't do this. But the question is, and this is a real big question. Okay, once he shuts it down at midnight tonight, which he's going to do, how does he get out of it? What is it that he thinks that the president will agree to that we can put 60 votes on in the House that we would agree to?
Yes.
That allows him to save face after he makes a shutdown. He would be better off not allowing the shutdown, put his members on that need to be on, and go ahead and let's keep the government open. Let's go to work on the budget. Let's get the budget passed. We're just talking to November 21st. That's what we're looking at here.
Yeah.
We're looking at giving us the authority to keep moving forward, allowing government to continue to work, provide services for our veterans, make sure that the people can still get their visas, make sure the list goes on and on and on.
Sure.
And what's wild is we can go back and look at all of the statements of the Democrats in the past of why you shouldn't have a shutdown.
Congressman Mike Bost, our guest this morning. Great to have him on here. I know you are the chairman of the Veterans Affairs Committee, correct? Is that still true?
That is correct.
There's been a lot of focus on who's impacted by a shutdown. Obviously, we'd love to avoid it. Does it affect veterans? Does it affect active duty service members?
You know what?
Parks?
I'm not going to give you a political answer from somebody that's wanting to say, you know, look, if this is terrible, the world's going to fall apart. Let me say this about veterans, because I talked to the secretary, late last night. We have about 98% of the veterans community of our veteran employees that are essential.
Okay.
So we're not going to cut off our veterans. Okay. Now, remember, if you remember, during the long shutdown of Obama, he started closing and locking gates to our national parks and everything like that. I think maybe we should just shut down the IRS.
I made that point.
EPA.
Yep.
You know.
Department of Education. We're planning to do that anyway. Just shut that down for
that's
now.
Correct. Right. That's correct. Yeah, we can do that. So, but the thing is, you're going to start seeing it. One time it was described to me, and this is a very good way to describe it. The very best day of a government shutdown is the first day. And then it gets worse after that because more and more people realize the essentials of things. Let's say you are in a business where a lot of your employees or you and yourself have to travel overseas. If all of a sudden your visas start can't get handled, your passports, all of these type things. You know, the essential jobs are going to be there, but the thing is, the paperwork in the back doesn't get handled. Of course, sometimes government moves so slow, even when they are working. But, you know, these are the type things that you're going to start seeing. And then it's when, you know, I got a lot of people in my district that go, let it shut down, let it shut down. We don't need it anyway. Actually, you do. You do. But
yeah.
You'll start seeing different things occur. I don't want to see any veteran lose out on making sure they're getting medical care they need, and they won't. We'll make sure that happens.
Well, that's good, and you've got a few hours left in the day. I don't know if there's any real chance that gets fixed or not. You know, yesterday, speaking of your home state of Illinois, there, I heard your governor make some comments. I wanted to get your thoughts on. Would you go to cut number 6 for me, please, Ethan?
In Broadview, people nonviolently holding signs and chanting against brutality, expressing their First Amendment rights, have been regularly attacked with chemical agents like tear gas, pepper spray, rubber bullets, and flashbangs. Agents reportedly unholstered their guns and pointed them at protesters. In their own words, ICE intended to unleash, quote, a show in the Broadview community. Without provocation and acting like jackbooted thugs, wow. ICE has
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Referring to our members of ICE as jackbooted thugs. What's his point here?
Well, his point is he's trying to argue against protecting the Illinois citizens from violent crime. So, because when we come in for the ICE, it is people who are here illegally. Many of them have committed terrible, heinous crimes. And because of his own law that he signed into effect here in the state of Illinois, my own law enforcement cannot report to ICE when they have a hardened criminal that is here illegally in custody to allow ICE to come pick them up. You want a good example of that? I just had a conversation with a sheriff. I will not name that sheriff, but contacting me and saying, I've got a complaint, because this is what I've told them to do. I've got a complaint. I can't talk to ICE. Well, what's the complaint? And then they give me a name, they give me a case number, and they give me a location. So I'm doing that.
Good. Thank you.
because I've told my sheriffs, I'm sorry that they put you in a catch-22, okay? But this is the type guy that is now the governor of this state. Now, remember, he doesn't understand what the working man... So you remember a couple weeks ago, he took a walk along the lake.
Yes.
On the north side, in a good neighborhood, with bodyguards, and said, look how safe it is.
Yeah.
Go to the south side, don't have your bodyguards, and then when a bullet wings past your head, then all of a sudden you're going to realize how bad it is.
It's a great point. Congressman Bost, listen, we appreciate you giving us a few minutes this morning. It's always great having you on.
Well, thank you for having me on, Mark. Appreciate it.
You bet. We will talk soon, sir. Congressman Mike Bost from Illinois District 12.
Just, it's so ridiculous to hear a governor calling any branch of the law enforcement, any branch. I don't care who it is. These ICE officers are really no different than a sheriff's department or a police department. They are doing the job that Congress set laws for them to do. They're only enforcing existing laws. And by the way, the quote-unquote peaceful protesters that Pritzker said, did you see the video of these guys physically blocking vehicles, stepping in front of gates where they're trying to enter in and out with criminals and fugitives in their vehicles. They have every right to clear that zone physically, use tear gas, whatever it is. You want to be a protester to violate and stop police from doing their jobs, you're going to, you know, FAFO.
You're going to pay the price.
Right.
That's a great point. All right. So Pete Hegseth just got done addressing his top generals. We played a little bit of it earlier live. I've got a couple clips I want to play for you. It was epic. Can I just tell you, epic is the only word I can think of for what Pete Hegseth, Secretary of War, stood up and said to these generals, many of whom will probably be tendering their resignation a little later this afternoon before facing their first PT test in 25 years. We're going to get to that. Plus, President Trump is getting ready to speak to that same group. If it happens live while we're on the air, we'll go to it. I promise you that. We're going to be back in just a minute.